Be'ez Hashem Yisbo'ach, we begin Perek Shlishi, the third chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Nedarim, the laws of vows and the Sefer HaFlah, which in this Perek the Rambam discusses the differences between Neder and a Shvuah. As the Rambam opens up Halacha Aleph regarding these differences, says the Rambam, Arba Dvarim Yesh Bein Nedarim L'Shvuah's Bitur. There are four differences between, although they sound similar, between that of the laws of Nedarim, of vows, and the oath of utterances, that of oaths, which are both essentially saying the same thing, that I promise, I swear, I take an oath, that I vow that this is what I'm going to do. There's four differences in their halachas. First of all, Shabbashvuah's bitui, regarding the oath of utterance, ain't shvuah chalash shvuah. Halacha is that an oath cannot take effect on a previous oath. So let's say someone swore he's not going to eat this loaf of bread, and then he swears again he's not going to eat, and he eats it. He's only reliable one, like the Rambam explained Hilchos Shvuahs in Perek Da Halacha Tes. Whereas with nedarim, but by vows, yochol neder al neder, a vow could take effect on a pre-existing vow, as Rambam is going to explain halacha beis. Second, hamatfis b'shvua. If someone grabs a hold regarding an oath, where he hears his friend swearing, and he says, and I am like you, since he didn't enunciate the oath from his mouth, so actually potter is going to be exempt. Whereas with nedarim, chayif, but by vow, is going to be liable, as Rambam is going to explain in halacha gimel. Third difference is, ain't shvuah bitur chola el adivri harishos. An oath of utterance only takes effect on something that is neutral, on something that, if let's say swears to, let's say, not to do a mitzvah, so then it doesn't take effect, the shvuah bitur, because you can't swear to nullify mitzvah. Rambam says, in Hilchos Shvuah's Parakei. Whereas in the Dharm, cholos al divri mitzvah kedivrishos, whereas by a vow, it takes effect even on a mitzvah, like on something that's voluntary, as Rambam explained, halacha vav. And the fourth difference is shvuah bitur chol al davar sheyesh bo mamash, v'al davar shein bo mamash. Oath takes effect on something that has substance or that doesn't have substance, like for example, regarding sleep or anything like speech that doesn't have a substance, an oath could take effect. When a dharm, but a vow, in chol al davar sheyesh bo mamash, only takes effect on something that has substance. As we continue halacha beis, Rambam here explains the first difference regarding a vow taking effect on another vow. As Rambam says, Keitza yachol neder al neder. How is it possible? What's the case of a vow taking effect on another vow? If someone says, Harei lai karban emachalti kikarzu, it's on me to bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash if I eat this loaf of bread. And again, Harei lai karban emachalti, it's upon me to bring a carbon if I eat it. V'acholna eats it. Chayv kol achas v'achas, he's responsible, he's liable for each and every one that he took a vow, and anything similar to this, that it's going to take effect by specifically a neder again and again. Halacha Gimel, regarding the other difference of being matfis ben adarim, says Ram, Ketzer matfis ben adarim chayv. What's the case of that, if one does hatfas, if one grabs a hold of something else, to say that this is going to be the same thing for this, that by nadarm is going to be obligated? Let's say he hears his friend taking a neder, a vow, and he says, after he hears his friend, he says, Vani kumais chanam like you. And he does this particularly deep in the amount of time that it takes for a student to tell his Rebbe, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, greeting his teacher. Haritza also, but Mashal Nesu B'chaveri, he's going to be forbidden, and what his friend had made himself forbidden. Now, let's say, Shama Shlishi Zer Shama Vani, let's say this third person hears that guy say, and me. Vamani says, Vani, and me, and me. I feel how you may, even if it's 100 people, and each one said, and me, but within the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe from the previous person, Harikul Masum, the all can be forbidden. Again, that's a unique halacha to Nedarim versus that of Shavuos. Halacha Dal. So if someone says, Habasa Hazeh Olai Asa, this piece of meat is forbidden on me. V'chazva Amafel Acha Kamayam, then even if many days later, because here it's specific in contrast to that of Vani, which is what's Ani, it has to be with and take the Dibra when it's one person to another person. But here, it's one object to another object. He says, V'apasas is Kabasa Hazeh, and this bread should be like this meat. Okay, Harei Pasnit Vasav Nesara. So this bread is now grabbed a hold of that same nether, and it's going to be forbidden too. Let's say goes and he says subsequently, Dvajze Kabasazois, that this honey should be like this bread, and Vyayin Zekedvajze, and this wine should be like this honey. Afilemei, if it's 100 items, Kul Masurim, they're all going to be forbidden, because if someone's matvis in a nether, it has halacha like a nether. And what's the difference for many of these halachas to understand the difference between a nether and a shvuah is because a nether is when you're making the object, it's in the chepetz, you're making the object forbidden on the person. So it comes out that the isra is in the chepetz, it's in the object. So when he says another object, let this object be like this one, so he's doing matvis, the second object, to be like the first one, which the first one's asa. Conscious, when you take an oath, not to eat this loaf of bread. So the loaf of bread does not have any intrinsic prohibition to it. Just the one who took an oath made it forbidden on himself. What's known as the Issa Gavra, it's forbidden on the person. So therefore, when he says in the second loaf, it should be like the first one, you didn't say anything. And even when he's saying to the friend, and I'm like you, you can't say this hatfas over there where, oh, just like him, he's forbidden so to over here, because there's no noun on the person to say that he's like him. It's just in the action, and that's not something that you could be matvis. And that's why by neder hatfasa will work in contrast to that of shuas. Halacha hey, hare shemes aviv oirab hayam. Somebody had his father or his teacher passed away that day. V'nadu shayotzem oisa hayam, and he took a vow that he's going to fast that day as a sign of mourning. V'tzam, and he fasted. Ula achar shanam, and many years later, he said, "Hare yom zeh." He said, "This day, some random day of the year." He says, "Should be Allah on him kayim shemis be'over rabbi, like the day that his father or his teacher passed away." So he's being matvis. Hare asur lechel b'klum. So that day is also going to be forbidden to eat anything. Shari hitvis yom zeh basori kiyama asur, because he did it fasa on this day to be like the day that was forbidden, which that original day was a davar hanader, because he took a vow not to fast on that day, and he's being matvis b'neder, which makes that other thing also forbidden. Also anything that's similar to this, that the halacha of hatfas applies to a neder in contrast to a shvua. Now halacha vav, the Rambam explains regarding the halacha that we said that a neder is different than a shvua, that it could take effect on the divar mitzvah. Says Rambam, ketzit chol hanedar mal divri mitzvah kadivri shvus. How is this that we're saying that a vow would take effect on a thing related to a mitzvah, like something that's regarding something that's voluntary? So let's say someone says, Hariya matzah b'leila pesach asulah. He says, the matzah on the Seder nights are forbidden on him. Which again is in the Chavtzi, saying the object is forbidden. And that's also integral for understanding this halacha too. Hariya shibis ha-sukkah b'chag ha-sukkah asulah. Let's say the sitting in the sukkah, on the end of sukkahs, that sukkah is forbidden on him. V'hari tefillin ha-suris bin atila love. And he says that these tefillin are forbidden for him to put on. Hariya elos tumulav. So they're forbidden on him. And if he eats the matzah, Yoshev sits in the sukkah and nutl, or he takes the tefillin, like it, he's going to get lashes. Anything similar to this type of halacha. And it's a chalem, to say b'mishom regarding someone that says, "Arei carbon, it's upon me to bring a carbon." I eat matzah on the Seder night. Because why wouldn't he be obligated in that carbon? Is there anything that's similar to that? Now. Explains the Rambam lochazayin neiman adarm chol madibri mitzvah. Now he's explaining now the underpinning theory which we had mentioned before, which relates to many of the discrepancies between the adarm and shvuas. Why is it that a vow takes effect in adarm mitzvah, which shvuas in chol madibri mitzvah, and an oath doesn't take effect? What's the difference? They're both similar ideas. So the reason is shanishba oisur atzmoi al davar shenishba lav. When someone takes an oath, he makes himself forbidden on the item that he's taking the oath on. Whereas vanoider oisur hadavar hanoder al atzmoi. Whereas the vow, that he's making that object forbidden on him. So Nimza comes out, Hanishba levatal mitzvah. Someone swears he's going to nullify mitzvah. Oisur atzmai. He's trying to make himself forbidden, but you can't. Ukra atzmai mujba mehar Sinai. He's already had taken an oath from Har Sinai, so he can't uproot his obligation to do the mitzvahs. And the in shvu chalal shvu, and the fact that he's taking a new shvu cannot take effect on the pre-existing shvu, because shvu's bitul only takes effect on dvar shvus, and not on something that you're already obligated to. So therefore, it's ineffective. Whereas va'isa davar zeh b'neder, when someone makes this object forbidden as a vow, zeh hadavar hu shenasa, this object becomes forbidden. And you cannot feed to a person something that's forbidden to him. And va'isa davar in the mujbe b'har Sinai, that object did not have an oath from Har Sinai, you the person, but this object is now forbidden to you, and therefore, the neder will take effect on the dvar mitzvah. Now, when you contemplate the psukim, Timsa, you find shadvar marin kain kamishah bekibla chacham mepiashmo, that actually a precise reading of the words, the verses, actually illustrates the tradition that we have that to interpret this halacha like this. Because the wording is by the oath of the utterances, by shvuas, says lahara lahetiv, to do better, to do good. Which that's a bedivri shvus, that's regarding voluntary purposes. Like we had explained this in Hilchos Shvus Parakei halacha tezayin. Where if you want, you could do. If you want, you don't have to do it. You could do good or bad, which that's only regarding something that's voluntary, not a mitzvah. Which sheyechel v'yishta hayoyim, to eat or drink today, or shiotim at the fast, or kibitz, and things like that. And again, but not by dvar mitzvah. In contrast, but the dharma, but by the laws of vows, it says in Bamidbar, kochol yitzim epiv yasa, whatever comes out of his mouth, he has to do. And it doesn't differentiate if it's a dvar mitzvah, it doesn't say only lahar lahaytim. Sounds like it could even take effect, as we're saying, on the dvar mitzvah. Halacha test. Someone takes a vow that he's going to fast on Shabbos or Yom Tov, which on those days there's a mitzvah to have pleasure and it's biblically forbidden to fast. So Chayv Lotzim, he has to fast, again, like we said, to fulfill his vow, because the vows take effect on the mitzvah when the vow is by not doing something, what's called Sheval Tasa. Can we explain in Halacha Vav? Let's say someone took a vow that he's going to fast every Sunday and Tuesday his whole life. Now it turns out that Sunday or Tuesday is a Yom Tov or the day before Yom Kippur, which are days that are forbidden to fast, are mitzvahs to eat. He has to fast. Again, because the neder will take effect on the Dvar Mitzvah. And although that's somewhat of a Yom Tov, it's definitely lesser than those two. Now, but let's say Pogba by Chanukah Purim, let's say that Sunday, Tuesday falls out on Chanukah Purim, that actually, and these are rabbinic Yom Tovim, Yidacha Nidra Mabnei HaYom HaElu, actually we will reject, will override his vow because of the Yom Tovim of these 2 days. And the reason is, since the prohibition to fast on those days are only rabbinic, they actually need to be more supported because only rabbinic law, people might be lax in them. And we actually override his vow because of the rabbinic decree. And we say that, although generally chacham cannot be but when there's reasoning, then they actually could go ahead as in such a situation where for the halacha of the Chanukah Purim, we will override his neder and he actually will not fast on those days. Now, Halacha Yud Ram continues regarding the difference between Neder and Shavuos regarding Dovish Ein Behem Mamish, regarding something that does not have a substance. Ketzad Ein HaNedar Mecholam, how is it that we're saying that a vow only takes effect, Ela Dovish Yesh Behem Mamish, in contrast to Shavuos, it's only something that has substance. And we said that Shavuos is both yes or not. So, the case is, if someone says, Diburi Alecha Karban, my speech on you is forbidden as a karban. Ein Ha'asam Al-Dabi Mo, he's not forbidden to speak with him. Shadibur in b'mamish, because speech has no substance, and like we said, because a neder makes the object forbidden on the person. Something that doesn't have substance, you cannot make that prohibited. In contrast to a shvu, which is on the person, you can make yourself forbidden to do something. Let's say he tells him, "Diburi asa alecha, my speech is forbidden on you." Ain't it? It's not like a guy who says, "Peiresa asur alecha, my produce is forbidden on you." Or peiresa korban alecha, my produce is like a korban on you. Shame asur alecha, which that would make it forbidden on the person, like the Rambam says in Perak Aleph Halacha Zayin. Rather, there's no substance, so there's nothing to make prohibited. Lafikach, therefore, imalecha. Someone says to his friend, "Korban she'ein medabi mach," like a korban, which is a terminology of taking a vow. That I'm not going to speak with you, or I'm not going to do something with you, I'm not going to go with you. Or he says, "Carbon chain the ocean." I take a carbon that I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to walk. Or he tells his wife, "Carbon chain mashamshich." I like by that of a carbon that I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to have a relations with you. So actually, the vow does not take effect in all these different situations. It's like he's saying, "Diburi, my speech, viluchi, my traveling, vasiyasi, my doing, vishimushi, and my intimacy is carbon." Which like we said, these are things that don't have substance, and therefore the neder cannot take effect because it has to be in the chef, in the chefts, in the object, and there is no object over here in these cases. They're verbs, not nouns. As we continue, halacha yud aleph, avol oimer, but let's say he says, "Ye aser pila diburoi." If one looks at the words, says that, "Let my mouth be forbidden for its speech." So there is an object over here, the mouth. V'yodil masein, and my hands for their actions. V'ragle luchan, and my feet for their traveling. V'ayne lishanos, and my eyes for their sleep. Ah, hari haned chalalei, and then the vow is going to take effect on the mouth, which has substance in all those other cases. L'fikich, therefore, ha'imalach, if someone tells his friend, "Karben pim l'dabimcha, my mouth is a karben from speaking with you. My hands from doing with you. My feet from walking with you." Then he's going to be forbidden. It's like as if he said that my mouth is forbidden for its speech, because since you could explain that's what he means to say, and we say stam adam lahachmer, so that's what we mean. That's what he means to say, which the neder could be chal to take effect on that object of his mouth and all those other examples. If someone says harei like carbon, it's upon me an obligation of being a carbon. If I speak with that person, if I don't speak with them, But aval devar, and he violates whatever it is that he had, whichever one he said, so chayav karbon, he's going to be obligated in the carbon. And although he made it dependent on something that doesn't have substance, which is speaking or whatever it is, but he's obligated for himself to bring a carbon, which the carbon is something that is a substantive thing. He took a vow that he says, dibarti. In other words, if I speak today with that person, I'm going to have to bring a carbon. Or, veloy dibarti. Or, if I don't speak with that person. But kitzben, or whatever, and something similar to that. She'ein elu nidre iser sh'an mevar mishpatim. These are not prohibitions, vows of prohibition, which we're speaking about here in these halachas of hilchos nedarim, which, yeah, those are things that only take effect on something that have substance. Elu nidre hektish. These are examples of vows of hektish, which a person could become obligated through his vow, and the stipulations of the laws of nidre iser do not apply to nidre hektish, and again, therefore, he would be obligated in his vow. Someone takes a vow regarding something that has no substance and he's making it forbidden. So, like we said previously, that the vow does not take effect on them. But rule that the person should treat it as if it's permissible. Since he did make it forbidden on himself. And his intention was that the vow should take effect on them. Rather, we find an opening for him of regret or whatever from some other place. And then that's how we permit his vow. Because although it did not become forbidden, we do this that they shouldn't act lightheaded by taking vows, and to show the stringency, we require some other way out, not by just saying, oh, you didn't do anything, because that will create a certain laxity regarding the laws of Nedarim in general.